Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 5th, 2021. Coming up this hour.
Stocks fall around the world as the sell-off shows no sign of slowing. Global team coverage straight ahead.
Investors await this morning's jobs report following Jay Powell's latest dovish remarks.
Oil tops $65 a barrel for the first time in 14 months.
One of the women accusing New York Governor Cuomo of sexual harassment is speaking out. Plus, Cuomo advisors push back on reports of the altered COVID nursing home deaths. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks move back over 500 with a win over Detroit. A Rangers rout of the Devils. The Islanders beat Buffalo.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 106.1 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are adding to yesterday's losses. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 6 points. Dow futures down 33. NASDAQ futures down 41. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The CAC in Paris down 0.5%. FTSE 100 is higher, up almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.54%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.9%, up $1.19 at $65.02 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $8.80 at $16.91.90 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, we are seeing stocks fall around the world following yesterday's declines on Wall Street. We begin our global team coverage in Asia, where Juliet Sally has the latest from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. China CSI 300 fluctuated before closing lower by 1/3 of 1% to officially erase this year's gains after officials set a conservative growth target of more than 6% for 2021 that signals restrained monetary and fiscal policies. South Korea's Kospi was down 0.6% in Seoul. The Nikkei 225 in Tokyo down 0.2%. Japanese bonds rallied after Bank of Japan Governor Kuroda shot down the idea of widening the trading range for benchmark yields ahead of a policy review. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. The declines are steeper in Europe this morning with every sector in the red. And Bloomberg's Ewan Potts continues our team coverage live from London with the latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Europe's Stock 600 opened this morning more than 1% lower, with the majority of the region's stock markets selling off today. Travel and leisure stocks, the worst performing industry group, reversing some of the gains of the past month. And the London Stock Exchange Group, one of the biggest movers today. That's after the company disappointed on cost guidance. London Stock Exchange shares on the London Stock Exchange down more than 7% today. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Here in the U.S., futures are lower once again, and the NASDAQ led yesterday's declines following comments from Jay Powell. John Tucker is live in New York with the latest. John?
And Nathan, the Fed chairman sounded a gentle word of caution to the bond market that he's watching the jump in higher in long-term interest rates. But in the Wall Street Journal forum, he did stop well short of trying to rein them in.
We want to see, and would be concerned if we didn't see, disorderly conditions, orderly conditions in markets, and we don't want to see a persistent tightening in broader financial conditions. That's really the test.
Higher yields have unsettled the stock market, particularly shares of technology companies. 10-year Treasury yields extended their climb, and inflation expectations reached new session highs as Powell spoke. The NASDAQ 100 tumbled over 2%, and futures signaled more declines this morning. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. So where do benchmark Treasury yields go from here? There's room to push as high as 2%, but ultimately they'll retreat from those levels. That's according to Guggenheim Chief Investment Officer Scott Minard.
Even if 10-year notes get to 2%, which now seems to be the new number everybody's talking about, it isn't going to be sustainable. History shows that these sort of spike up in yields that occur after the end of recessions typically are reversed because inflationary expectation gets ahead of what the real inflation experience is.
And checking the 10-year Treasury yield now, it's at 1.54%.
And we're seeing oil rise again this morning. West Texas Intermediate crude is at $65 even per barrel after OPEC's surprise decision. Here with more is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
WTI crude rose above $65 a barrel today for the first time since January 2020. It came after the OPEC Plus alliance retained deep output curbs for another month. The group of producers surprised the market yesterday by maintaining supply restrictions through April. Saudi Arabia is sticking to voluntary cuts. JP Morgan Chase said it's seen as the most bullish outcome they could have expected. Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Global financial markets await today's report on the U.S. labor market. Economists say job growth probably accelerated in February. The median forecast calls for a gain of almost 200,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice says more.
In January, the U.S. added 49,000 non-farm jobs, partially recovering a December loss, a loss triggered by a surge in coronavirus infections. Sustained progress could be on the horizon, though. Bloomberg Economics says data on retail sales and industrial production suggest government pandemic aid will jumpstart America's economy and labor market. Millions are out of work a year into the pandemic, and weekly jobless claims continue to run at historic highs. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. President Biden receives an economic briefing from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen following the jobs report today. Meantime, the Senate has formally agreed to take up the president's stimulus bill. Republicans are threatening to stretch the process for several days. Senators like Bill Hagerty criticize the level of spending in the package.
This is meant to be a bridge for those businesses and for those employees. This isn't meant to be something that allows the Democrats to come in and put through all their pet projects. We should be focused on getting shots in people's arms, getting our kids back to school, and getting our parents back to work. Anything beyond that shouldn't be the subject of this bill and should be out of it.
Hagerty spoke with our chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cirilli on Bloomberg Sound On. You can catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up today, Kevin speaks with Bharat Ramamurthy, deputy director of the National Economic Council.
Now let's get you caught up on some key earnings after the bell. Chipmaker Broadcom, which supplies Apple and other big tech companies, gave a forecast that was in line with estimates. That stock is down 1%, and shares of Costco down more than 2%. That's after the wholesale retailer's profit missed some analysts' estimates. And this headline crossing the Bloomberg, Reddit saying that it has appointed its first chief financial officer, Drew Vollero, that according to the New York Times, and this as Reddit prepares for its first IPO. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Charlotte Bennett, who has accused New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment, said he propositioned her and asked if a past sexual trauma continued to affect her intimate relationships. Bennett says it happened last June when she was called into Cuomo's office to take dictation, and he then told her to turn off the tape recorder.
And then he explains at that point that he is looking for a girlfriend. He's lonely. He's tired.
Bennett, speaking to CBS, says, "I thought he was trying to sleep with me." Cuomo apologized for making anyone feel uncomfortable. The Wall Street Journal and the New York Times report that the true number of people who had died in nursing homes in New York was altered by Governor Cuomo's top aides in a state health department report in July. Cuomo's office released a statement defending their decision, saying in part that the primary driver that introduced COVID into the nursing homes was spread by its staff. Connecticut will be relaxing many coronavirus-related restrictions in 2 weeks on businesses, theaters, churches, and travel. However, Governor Ned Lamont says they will be keeping the statewide mask mandate. Lamont cited declining infections and hospitalizations and increasing vaccinations.
We're maintaining the capacity limits in movie theaters, performing arts. Again, a younger demographic, movie theaters. My wife goes for the movie. I go for the popcorn. Your mask is off. You're sort of packed in there a little bit more likely. So I think 50% allows the distancing or allows you to stay within your cohort.
The seven-day average of daily deaths statewide has dropped nearly in half from 21 to about 12. California Governor Gavin Newsom says in order to reopen the economy, all communities have to be served. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The governor says the disproportionate effects of the pandemic on the state's large Latino communities has to be addressed.
You can't safely reopen your economy until we get this disease behind us. We can't honestly do that unless we address those communities that are disproportionately vulnerable to this pandemic and its deadly impacts.
He says the overall infection rate is 2%, but things aren't safe until that is the way it is in the state as a whole. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Just before 6:10 on Wall Street, here's John Stanshire with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. What a first half of the season for the Knicks. Far exceeding expectations with a 19-18 record. They beat Detroit at the Garden, 114-104. Their all-star Julius Randle again led the way, 27 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists. All five starters were in double figures. They picked the squads for Sunday's game in Atlanta. Randle will play for Team Kevin Durant, though Durant won't play due to injury. Not surprisingly, Durant also picked his Nets teammates, Kyrie Irving and James Harden. LeBron James picked the other team. They'll have the slam dunk competition at halftime on Sunday. Knicks rookie Obi Toppin will be in it. In Newark, Rangers all over the slumping Devils, 6-1. Another hat trick for Chris Kreider, his second in 8 days. Rangers' fifth win in the last seven, all without Artemi Panarin. The Blue Shirts get to 500. Devils have now lost 4 in a row, 7 of 8. The Islanders have won 8 of 11. They beat Buffalo 5-2. Wayne Gretzky spoke often about the influence his father had on his hockey career. Walter Gretzky has died. He was 82. With Aaron Boone recovering from getting a pacemaker, Carlos Mendoza is now the Yankees' interim manager.
I spoke with him last night on the way home, and, you know, as soon as he called, got off the phone, like, first question was, how the boys look? And I was like, no. How are you feeling? And he was like, I'm great. I feel great. I could already tell the difference. I'm good.
Mendoza, native of Venezuela, had a brief major league playing career, short stint with the Mets. He managed the Yanks yesterday. They lost to the Phillies 15-0. Almost all the runs scored against pitchers that won't be on the Yanks opening day roster. The Mets beat Washington 8-4. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
And now that baseball season is here, John, join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We'll speak with Yankees president Randy Levine about Aaron Boone's health and the quest for the Bronx Bombers' first World Series win since 2009. Business of Sports tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio or anytime when you download the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. Futures now, little changed. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures are little changed now, and treasuries are rising. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, well, they're jumping around a bit. Now they're down 3 points. Dow futures down 11. NASDAQ futures down 30. But for a minute there, S&P futures had erased their declines. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year treasury up 6/32, yield 1.54%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.3%, up $1.49 at $65.32 a barrel. And this is after OPEC Plus Alliance surprised traders with its decision to keep output unchanged. COMEX gold is down about 0.6% on $9.40 at $16.91.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1926 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3791. The yen, 108.54. And, of course, we're waiting for the February jobs report. It's out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The Senate has voted by the slimmest of margins to begin debating a $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill. Democrats made 11th-hour changes in the measure, hoping for Senate approval of the package before next week. That would give the House time to sign off on it and get the measure to President Biden quickly. Republicans argue that the measure's huge price tag ignores promising signs that the pandemic and wounded economy are turning around. Pope Francis will be in Iraq today. It marks the first visit ever by a pope to the Middle Eastern country. There will be a welcoming ceremony in Baghdad. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Wizards won. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Devils 6-1. The Islanders were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Let's look ahead now to the release of the February jobs report in just about 2 hours' time. For that, we're joined once again by Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo Securities. Great to have you back with us, Mark. And as I take a look at my EcoGo screen, it seems there's an expectation that we're going to see a pretty strong bounce back from the disappointment print we got for the January payrolls report. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Well, we are expecting a bounce back, but there's a wide range on the forecast. I mean, our estimate's 210,000 net new jobs, no change on the unemployment rate. But I think there's a lot of risk to the upside. We saw a lot of states were reopening their economies and restaurants were reopening. And it's really just hard to factor in what the seasonal adjustment process is going to do with those additional jobs at restaurants. And I've seen some estimates as high as 500,000 jobs, and that's certainly a possibility. But I've also seen some forecasters are calling for a decline, which I'm not so sure how that would come to pass.
Well, what are you looking at in terms of the seasonality that we could see, the people starting to get back into employment now that things are starting to warm up?
Well, February is normally a harsh month from weather-wise, and we did see that in Texas, but the cold weather came a little too late to be included in the February report, at least we think it did. And so we may see that may impact hours. I think more importantly, California and New York, which are two very large states, have been reopening their economies and really been adding back jobs in the hospitality industry, which is where the bulk of job losses have been. So, you know, I think that's going to give us a stronger number this month.
Now, we are still seeing elevated weekly jobless claims. We certainly saw that again yesterday. What does that tell you?
Well, jobless claims are actually lower during the period that they did the employment survey in February than they were in January. But they bounced around the last 2 weeks because of the situation in Texas. So I'm not sure that situation has changed. Also, we've got expanded benefits now, and so we've got more people applying for unemployment benefits because there's more money to be had, and it's easier for folks to qualify than it was a month ago.
And with an expectation, of course, that we're going to see further expansion of jobless benefits and the stimulus that's about to go into debate in the Senate later on today, what effect could that have if we continue to see expanded jobless benefits into August?
Well, I do think that there is the unintended effect that when you provide more generous unemployment benefits, it makes it harder for people to go back to work, because the average weekly earnings for a restaurant worker in the United States is $425 a week. If they're getting $600 or $700 in unemployment benefits, why would they give that up to go back to work in the hospitality industry, where they may not actually get enough hours to make the $425 a week that they were making previously? And if they have childcare needs, then it really makes it makes the math difficult. So, you know, I think that it may cause the unemployment rate to the improvement in the unemployment rate to drag a bit, but it still doesn't mean you shouldn't have done it. I mean, because while that's one byproduct of extending unemployment benefits, there still are a lot of people that are in need, and we do want to provide more help for them. So, you know, it's about the best that could be done in the circumstances, but I do think it's going to cause the improvement in the unemployment rate to drag a little bit.
In our last 30 seconds here, Mark, in terms of the jobs that are being created at this point, are you starting to see any effect on wage pressure from the job creation that's happening now?
Well, we have been. I don't think we're going to see so much this month, because we're going to be adding back a lot of jobs in the hospitality sector where wages are relatively low, so average hourly earnings will probably increase by a tenth or so. But we have been seeing a little bit more pressure on wages. Folks in manufacturing and construction and logistics can't find workers, and they're having to offer signing bonuses. There are more job openings today than there were pre-pandemic, when the economy had a 3.5% unemployment rate. So the competition for workers is really intensifying, and I think we are going to see a good bit of wage pressure over the course of the year.
Right, it'll be interesting to see if we do start to see further tightness in the labor market. That report due out, as always, the first Friday of the month, 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have full coverage for you right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo, thank you, as always, for helping us to get ready for it. Right now, S&P futures, little change to the downside. Dow futures now higher by 11 points. NASDAQ futures lower, down 22. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moskow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are stabilizing around the world once again following yesterday's sell-off. We get the very latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, futures right now have stabilized, as you say, Karen. This follows yesterday's 2.1% decline for the NASDAQ as a fresh sell-off was sparked by Fed Chair Jay Powell.
We think we're likely to see inflation move up during the course of this year.
In a Wall Street Journal forum, Powell stopped short of trying to rein in a jump in long-term interest rates. Higher yields have unsettled the stock market, in particular shares of technology companies. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And John, investors now look ahead to the monthly payrolls report due out 2 hours from now. Economists forecast a gain of 198,000 jobs. That would be four times the number from last month.
Meantime, in Asia, China set an economic growth target above 6% for the year. We get the latest on the projection from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
That range of growth is well below what economists had forecast, and China did not set a five-year target. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang said the government would narrow the budget deficit this year to 3.2% of GDP. That's down from 3.6% last year. Still, it's above the 3% expected by many analysts. The quota for local government bond sales is higher than forecast, and defense spending will grow 6.8%. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Oil's on the rise again after OPEC surprised markets yesterday, choosing not to relax its curbs on supply. Amrita Sen is chief oil analyst at Energy Aspects.
We've said oil prices are probably going to be above $80 next year. We stand by that, but it's hard to see us going much above that because there is 8 million barrels per day of spare capacity.
And checking oil now, West Texas Intermediate crude's up 2.4% or $1.54 to $65.37 a barrel. Brent is up 2.6% at $68.49.
And on Capitol Hill, Senate Democrats are bracing for a marathon session of votes on President Biden's stimulus package. Republican attempts to rein in spending will extend the timetable for passage into the weekend. It's a balancing act for Democratic leaders. They need to emerge with a bill that gets the votes of all 50 Democrats without risking a revolt by progressives in the House. And S&P futures, little changed, up 2 points, erasing earlier declines. Dow futures up 26, NASDAQ futures down 9. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.6%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. The New York Times and Wall Street Journal are reporting that aides to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo rewrote a state health department report in June to hide the number of COVID deaths at long-term care facilities. The governor and the health department pushed back on those claims. Meanwhile, Charlotte Bennett, one of the three women accusing Cuomo of sexual harassment, is speaking out. The 25-year-old, talking to CBS News, says she knew exactly what Governor Cuomo was saying.
I thought, he's trying to sleep with me. The governor's trying to sleep with me. And I'm deeply uncomfortable and I have to get out of this room as soon as possible.
Cuomo apologized for making anyone feel uncomfortable and says he never ever meant to offend anyone or hurt anyone. Connecticut will be relaxing many coronavirus-related restrictions soon. Bloomberg's Renita Young reports.
Governor Ned Lamont said the state will eliminate coronavirus-related capacity limits on restaurants, houses of worship, and other spaces in 2 weeks.
No capacity limits, but again, I would use your common sense.
Lamont said face coverings will continue to be required. Bars that do not serve food will remain closed until further notice. Indoor theaters will continue to have capacity capped at 50%, and large event venues like stadiums will open in April. Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
California governor is pledging to more action to address the disproportionate effects of the pandemic on Latino communities. Governor Gavin Newsom warned that the state cannot safely return to normal as long as infections are high in vulnerable areas.
We are committing 40% of all the vaccines to communities and census and zip codes like the one we're in today.
Newsom says the state's overall infection rate is now below 2%. Pope Francis is in Iraq to urge the country's dwindling number of Christians to stay put and help rebuild the country after years of war and persecution. Brushing aside the coronavirus pandemic and security concerns, banners and posters hang high in central Baghdad and billboards depict Francis with the slogan, "We are all brothers." Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Here's John Stanshaw with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. 2 years after being the worst team in the NBA, the Knicks are over 500, thinking playoffs. Detroit now the worst team in the East. At the Garden, Knicks led the Pistons by 20, won the game by 10, 114-104. All five Knicks starters in double figures. Julius Randle, 27 points. R.J. Barrett had 21. Elfrid Payton, 20. And Coach Tom Thibodeau now hits the All-Star break.
The break comes at a good time. We've had a difficult schedule in terms of travel, and get a chance to gather, take a look at the first half, dig into it, and then, of course, be ready for the second half, and the challenge will be great.
Sunday's game in Atlanta will have Randle teaming with the Nets' Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Kevin Durant picked all three to be on his squad, but Durant, injured, won't play himself. Hockey in Newark, Rangers with a 4-goal third period, blew past the Devils 6-1. Chris Kreider with his second hat trick in just over a week. However, Rangers goalie Igor Shesterkin hurt his leg late in the game, had to be helped off. The Islanders beat Buffalo 5-2. Rory McIlroy shot a 6-under-66. He's tied for the lead after the opening round at Bay Hill. Also in Florida, the Yankees lost to the Phillies 15-0. The Phillies hit 6 home runs. They scored 9 runs in the fourth inning. Mets beat Washington 8-4, a grand slam for Pete Alonso. 80 years after the death of Lou Gehrig, MLB announced he will be remembered in every ballpark on June 2nd, the anniversary of his death, with money being raised for ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. And Dave, as we watch oil prices go up, it seems oil stocks are following suit.
Absolutely, Nathan. I mean, energy stocks are higher after the benchmark U.S. crude surpassed $65 a barrel for the first time since January of last year. You've got ExxonMobil up 2% in early trading, Chevron up 2.5%, and Marathon Oil, a standout, up 6.5%. Looking at chip makers, you've got NXP Semiconductor up 1%. The company raised its dividend by 50% and increased a stock buyback program by $2 billion. On the other hand, Broadcom down 2.5%. The chip maker is lower for a fourth day, even though fiscal first quarter earnings and sales beat analyst average estimates in the Bloomberg survey. Now, Broadcom fell in the past 3 days by 9.4%, its steepest drop since last March, and the decline continues.
Yeah, and talking of earnings, Dave, we got some disappointing results, it seems, for many investors from one big box store.
Costco Wholesale would be that store, Nathan. The warehouse club chain down 2% early on. Earnings trailed estimates for the first time in 9 quarters. Costco cited premium wages paid in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Gap, though, up 1.5%. CEO Sonia Syngal said the apparel retailer stands to benefit from what she called a peacocking effect in its second half as the COVID-19 pandemic subsides. Gap will pay a dividend next month after skipping payouts for four straight quarters. Look for some other stocks to move based on their performance late yesterday after earnings. The eye care product maker Cooper was up 3.5%. The insurance software maker Guidewire software was down 5%. And maker of data analysis software Medallia was also down 5%. Big Lots is up 4% in early trading. The closeout retailer's earnings for the fiscal fourth quarter beat estimates. CoreLogic down 3.5%. CoStar Group withdrew a $6.5 billion takeover offer late yesterday that the real estate data provider had rejected. Now, CoreLogic agreed last month to be bought by two private equity firms, Stone Point Capital and Insight Partners. And finally, Virgin Galactic down 1.5%. Chairman Chamath Palihapitiya sold his personal stake in the Pace Tourism startup for $213 million. He still owns shares with a partner. Virgin Galactic went public in October 2019 by merging with one of his blank check companies, Nathan.
All right, Dave Wilson, Bloomberg Stocks Editor, thank you as always. And taking a look at stocks as a whole this morning ahead of the open. Looking at a turnaround now, futures firmly in the green with S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 84, NASDAQ futures higher by 23 points. 10-year Treasury still up 4/32, the yield 1.54%, and the yield on the 2-year is at 0.13%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And at 6:47 on Wall Street, if futures this morning have erased their declines and are moving higher, we go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures have reversed those losses, now trading in the green. Dow futures up 56 points. S&P's gained 7. NASDAQ futures are now higher by 6. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.55%. Gold is down 1. And Shanghai was a little changed overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, non-farm payrolls estimate 198,000. And after the bell last night, Broadcom EPS beat estimates. Costco EPS missed, but comp sales beat estimates. In deal news, Chevron to buy Noble Midstream Partners in an all-stock deal. And in other news, Reddit hired its first CFO as it prepares for an IPO. Wrapping things up, Oracle raised overweight at Barclays, Exxon raised to hold at DZ Bank, and Cisco raised overweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A split right down party lines. President Biden's nearly $2 trillion COVID relief bill is in the hands of the Senate. The bill includes unemployment benefits of $400 a week, stimulus payouts of $1,400 for Americans earning up to $75,000 a year, funding for small businesses, and $160 billion for COVID testing and vaccinations. Pope Francis has arrived in Iraq on a visit to rally the country's dwindling Christian community after decades of war. The Pope's landmark visit has been months in the making and is the first papal visit to Iraq. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Wizards won. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Devils 6-1. The Islanders were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Stop trying to pit the Fed against the bond market. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. After years of hearing the mantra, don't fight the Fed, it can be tempting to frame every move in the bond market as another bout between traders and the central bank. Try to resist that urge. The Fed has been unwavering in its messaging about the path of monetary policy ever since it changed its framework and revealed enhanced forward guidance. Given that, the lurch higher in bond yields suggests traders are growing more confident that sometime between now and a few years from now, the U.S. labor market will reach maximum employment, and inflation will hit 2% and appear on track to moderately exceed 2% for some unspecified period of time. That's it. If both conditions aren't satisfied, Powell and his colleagues have made clear that they're not moving rates from near zero. This latest move shouldn't be misconstrued as the bond market fighting the central bank. Like the rest of us, 10-year treasuries are just starting to see the light at the end of the pandemic tunnel. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Senate finishing a reading of the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill after nearly 11 hours. They did read it aloud. President Biden facing some pushback in his bid to overturn former President Trump's agenda from Trump-era holdovers. And U.S. Capitol Police ask the National Guard to stay even longer, citing ongoing threats to lawmakers. Also making news this morning, the Biden stimulus facing a long final gauntlet of votes in the Senate. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, wasn't the Votorama, as it's known, supposed to start by now?
The Votorama is now going to be starting a little bit later today. We're going to see the Senate come back at 9. You're going to see Republicans employing a number of delay tactics on this bill. It likely won't impact final passage of it, but it's things that you saw yesterday, like having them read the text of the bill, which is normally waived and not done. I mean, this isn't something that's going to impact final passage, but it's a way for Republicans to sort of show their opposition to this bill and kind of try and make it as painful as Democrats for them to get through the process of passing it.
All right. Well, then other than the rhetorical move of reading the nearly 700-page bill aloud, what other kind of delay tactics could we see specifically when it comes to the amendment process?
So technically, under a budget reconciliation, the Republicans can offer as many amendments as they would like. They could keep this period going on pretty indefinitely. Granted, Democrats do have some tools in their toolbox to limit debate. They're trying to keep it around 20 hours. But the other big question is, will any of these amendments that Republicans are bringing forward actually pass? Remember, Republicans only need one Democrat to join them to get an amendment added to the bill. And the bill is really sort of carefully construed right now, so it appeases both moderates as well as progressives. Additional amendments could wind up jeopardizing the bill's passage in the House if they are contentious enough.
In the meantime, a lot of President Biden's focus in these early days of his presidency has been to roll back some of former President Donald Trump's agenda. And we're starting to see some evidence now that he's getting some pushback from within the government itself.
I mean, remember, Nathan, Donald Trump had 4 years to fill the government with individuals who are loyal to him, who are on board and agree with his policies and his direction. And now with Biden coming in, it's taking almost a 180 at this point. But they still, that doesn't mean that suddenly, you know, everything's stacked with people who agree with Biden and go along with sort of his administration's overall plan. We did see a bit of a hiccup, Biden had banned new fracking drilling permits on federal land, and you did see additional permits get confirmed and then later revoked. And so I think this is sort of normal growing pains for a new administration. Potentially it's a little bit more difficult for President Biden because it did take so long and it is taking so long for him to get his cabinet in place and for the Senate to go through and approve his nominees.
And finally, Emily, it appears as though the heightened security situation on Capitol Hill could be sticking around for quite a bit longer.
Yeah, there is a request now for the Capitol, the extra National Guard, as well as the fencing, to stick around the Capitol for another 2 months. Initially, the estimates were that everyone would leave and that the Capitol would return a little bit more back to normal on March 12th. But with the head of the U.S. Capitol Police on Thursday asked the Defense Department to extend the National Guard's presence in light of increased risks and threats to lawmakers.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, hoping for a restful weekend for you in Washington. And you can read all about these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. At 6:54 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a real difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. President Joe Biden has congratulated the NASA team responsible for last month's successful landing of a six-wheeled rover on Mars.
You should take such great pride in what you did. We can land a rover on Mars. We can beat a pandemic.
Perseverance, the biggest, most advanced rover ever sent by NASA, became the ninth spacecraft since the 1970s to successfully land on Mars, traveling some 300 million miles in nearly 7 months as part of an ongoing quest to study whether there was once life on the planet. China says a cohort of astronauts is training for 4 crewed missions this year as the country works to complete its first permanent orbiting space station. The station's core module could be launched as soon as next month. And negotiations over the rights to the National Football League games have become another extension of the streaming wars. Disney and Comcast are hammering out deals to show games on their TV networks. They're also looking for ways to add NFL action to their streaming platforms. Meanwhile, Amazon is getting ambitious about using pro football to attract users to its Prime Video service. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. March is Women's History Month, and every day we're looking back at some of those who played a vital role in American history. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in women's history in 1931, Geraldine Cobb is born. She's the first woman to pass qualifying exams for astronaut training. She got hooked on aviation at 12 years old after her first flight on a bi-wing airplane. Cobb received her commercial pilot's license on her 18th birthday, but she had difficulty finding work as a pilot, so she took on less desirable jobs like crop dusting. But she eventually became a pilot, and several designations later in 1950, Cobb was the first woman to undergo the grueling Mercury astronaut selection tests, which she passed with flying colors. But she was denied entrance into the program because she had no military jet experience. Cobb spent the next 3 decades as a missionary pilot in the Amazon, which won her nomination for a Nobel Peace Prize. That's today in women's history. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up about 8 points. Dow futures up 67. And NASDAQ futures up about 5. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 1.56%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil jumping 2.6%, up $1.64 at $65.47 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.5%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.